Massachusetts hospitals are also closely watching the Super Committee as they fear cuts to Medicare they say could be devastating. The Massachusetts Hospital Association is out with analysis that shows one-year cuts in the program could reach hundreds of millions of dollars, or over 10 years in the billions. As we know, hospitals are some of the state's largest employers, so to talk about what might be ahead for them, we've asked WBUR's Martha Biebinger, who covers healthcare for us, to join us in the studio this morning. Good morning, Martha, and thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Bob.
Martha, what we're talking about here is Medicare, the federal healthcare program for the elderly. Why are hospitals so dependent on Medicare?
Bob, it pays doctors to care for many of their sickest patients. That's the elderly and the disabled. And several of the proposals on the table before the Super Committee would cut how doctors are paid or how much they're paid. But the biggest worry right now, Bob, is the cuts to graduate medical education, because Medicare pays part of the cost of training doctors. That's salary, or equipment, and services. And if the Super Committee reduces Medicare spending there, the Massachusetts Hospital Association says many members would lose between $100 and $300 million a year, or $1 to $3.2 billion over 10 years.
As I understand it, there are about 5,000 doctors in training in Massachusetts at any given time. How many of them would this affect?
Well, we don't have the exact numbers, but one estimate says hospitals would have to eliminate probably several hundred student or residence slots. One example is a program at Lawrence General, Bob, where they train about 10 new family physicians every year. And the CEO at Lawrence General is Diane Anderson.
So if the residency program was cut significantly or did not exist, our ability to add family practice doctors in this high-need area would be really at risk.
And Bob, John Irwin, he's the director of the Conference of Boston Teaching Hospitals, says cutting back on training programs for doctors anywhere right now just doesn't make sense.
We have pretty well documented physician shortages here in Massachusetts and certainly nationwide, and that will only get worse with these cuts to graduate medical education.
Let's look at another aspect of this if we can. The Super Committee is also said to be considering reducing federal money that helps hospitals cover bad debt and also payments to rural hospitals. A lot of people say Medicare just can't afford all these reimbursements for hospitals and it's time to trim expenses. What do the hospitals say?
Well, they know that Medicare as a program is in trouble, but they say that it's really needed now more than ever with a wave of aging baby boomers coming. The state and the country needs robust hospitals. Tim Jens, who's the executive vice president with the Massachusetts Hospital Association, says hospitals are doing their part to reduce costs and become more efficient.
What's being proposed in Washington goes way too far. We are making progress. No one's defending the status quo. There's change happening at every level, particularly efforts being made by hospitals. But there has to be a limit to how much hospitals can do without doing harm to those we serve and the communities in which we work.
And just to reinforce, Bob, we're talking about some of the state's largest employers here, and their major expense is labor. So we don't know what the total job losses would be, but that's the real impact across the economy.
You know, we know from reports out of Washington that the Super Committee may be stalemated on a lot of this stuff. There's no guarantee that the Super Committee is going to reach any agreement at all on the many things it's considering. So if there's no agreement, then it's back to the default plan, so to speak, which includes a 2% Medicare cut for hospitals, which would mean $100 million less a year for Massachusetts hospitals, or $1 billion over 10 years. So do the hospitals hope for a stalemate because that is their best option?
Well, it does look that way in some scenarios, but what hospitals are really worried about, Bob, is that the Super Committee will make some agreement to shave some of the programs that we've talked about. You know, they won't reach their full quota, but they will do something, and so it'll be a double hit. It'll be those cuts on top of the default option you just talked about. So it's a really stressful time in the world of hospitals.
So it would be the worst of all worlds then.
That's right.
WBUR's Martha Biebinger will continue to follow this. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bob.
Young boys. Still, students who revere Coach Paterno were furious. NPR's Jeff Brady is in State College, Pennsylvania, with our report.
Last night's event started at a press conference. John Cirma with the Pennsylvania State University's Board of Trustees announced that President Graham Spanier would no longer lead the school. Then came what was an even bigger announcement to many in this town of football fans.
In addition, Joe Paterno is no longer the head football coach, effective immediately. These decisions were made after careful deliberations and in the best interests of the university as a whole.
Paterno had announced he would retire at the end of this football season, but that wasn't enough for the board. Members say they closely examined a grand jury indictment that charges a former assistant coach, Jerry Sandusky, with molesting 8 boys over a period of 15 years. Also charged are 2 senior university officials, the athletics director at Penn State and a senior vice president. Prosecutors say they failed to report the alleged abuse. The Board of Trustees say President Spanier and Coach Paterno were being fired so the university could move past the scandal. John Cerma was asked if he worried how students might respond to the coach's firing.
We hope that in the long run, and maybe hopefully also in the short run, that our students will agree that what the trustees have undertaken is in their interest as well as all the other students.
But within an hour of the announcement, a main street near campus was filled with people. Student Chris Santo was among those who said the 84-year-old Paterno should have been allowed to coach this Saturday's game against Nebraska.
I think it's terrible that the Board of Trustees had to come to this, to have to fire him 3 days before he was going to coach his last home game.
At the beginning, the crowd was loud, but generally well-behaved. Santo predicted that would change.
I don't know. Right now, it's kind of boring, but I got a feeling something bad might happen very soon.
It's not really clear when the protest began taking on a different tone, but there were people walking through the crowd urging others to get active.
Join the cause, let's go!
A little later in the evening, a man climbed a light pole to wild cheers. Others led chants, blaming the media for all the attention the molestation scandal is getting. Karen Murphy, an advertising student, was standing on a large planter so she could see out over the crowd.
Joe Paterno is being put in the middle of all this as if he were the one to do it, but really he did the right thing and, you know, he told authorities.
By this time, someone lit off fireworks over the crowd and people began tearing down road signs and throwing rolls of toilet paper in the air. Then they moved to a street where television news vans were parked. One was turned over to loud cheers from the crowd. Eventually, police in riot gear dispersed the protesters so workers could clean up the mess. As most students went home, it's clear university administrators will have another mess to clean up, the school's reputation. To begin that work, the Board of Trustees announced 2 appointments. The school's executive vice president and provost, Rodney Erickson, will serve as interim president, and assistant coach Tom Bradley will step in as head football coach. Jeff Brady, NPR News, State College, Pennsylvania.
NPR sports correspondent Tom Goldman is following the story. And Tom, what's behind the strength of feeling we just heard there?
A deep, deep connection, Steve, stretching back 61 years. I mean, long before a lot of those kids we just heard were born. When the man named as Joe Pa first arrived in State College, Pennsylvania as a new assistant football coach, it was one of Paterno's goals to help make Penn State, which was largely an agricultural college back then, into a better university, not just a better football program. He was an Ivy League graduate. Academics were important to him. And through football success, the school started to gain national notoriety in the late 60s, early 70s. The Nittany Lions had several undefeated football seasons. Paterno got offers to coach in the NFL, but turned them down. He felt he belonged at Penn State where he could do more good. And that kind of helped solidify his standing as St. Joe, the patron saint of college athletics.
Well, you mentioned that he wanted to benefit the university as a whole. This trustee that we heard in Jeff Brady's report said that this move to remove him was in the best interests of the university as a whole, and yet the New York Times has a photo this morning showing student protesters with signs, and one of them said, "Joe is our best interest." It sounds like even these students